Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. News, talk, and sports from Vesper to Plover.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York.
On this vote, the yeas are 290, the nays are 137. The joint resolution is passed.
A vote in the House could now derail a potential nationwide rail strike with a measure that would bind unions to a deal they agreed to back in September. CBS's Scott McFarlane has more on what's next.
The deadline is sitting there, an ominous deadline of a potential labor dispute and a walkout that would deeply impact the U.S. economy. So this is going to happen in short order in the U.S. Senate. We expect a lot of people to speak about it and move on it beginning tomorrow.
President Biden has praised the House vote and says he will sign a bill if it's passed in the Senate. Congress gets its first black leader in the House. Here's CBS's Allison Keyes.
Representative Hakeem Jeffries was chosen to lead House Democrats by acclamation. The New Yorker has battled some raised eyebrows from the party's progressives. But even as Republicans take over the chamber next year, he is vowing to oppose their extremism when we must.
Another interest rate hike is expected soon when the Federal Reserve meets in a few weeks. It would be the fifth hike this year. But Fed Chair Jerome Powell says it's necessary to fight high inflation.
Nobody expected us to raise rates this much. No one expected inflation to be this strong and this persistent and this to have spread so broadly through the economy. And so to the extent we need to keep rates higher or keep them higher longer, that's going to narrow the path to a soft landing.
Cleanup is now underway following deadly storms in the South. Here's CBS's Jim Crisula.
Two people were killed when a tree fell on their home outside Montgomery, Alabama. Several people were hurt, and there's widespread damage from Louisiana to Georgia. Keith Barnett is emergency management director in hard-hit Elmore County, Alabama.
We've got a lot of first responders that are out there, a lot of our utility guys, a lot of public works folks that are out there hardworking in the rain, still raining and lightning out there.
Tens of thousands are without power. The storms have also led to flash flooding across the South and Southeast.
Twitter will now no longer enforce its COVID-19 misinformation policy, and it's raising concerns among public health experts who say the change could have serious consequences if it discourages people from getting vaccinated and other efforts to combat the virus. COVID is still spreading worldwide. Christine McVie, who sang and played keys with Fleetwood Mac, has died at 79 after battling a short illness. Fleetwood Mac was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1998, and the band said today there are no words to describe their sadness following her death. This is CBS News.
Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Visit libertymutual.com to learn more.
There's still time for business owners to claim their federal aid under the Employee Retention Tax Credit Program. Cash refunds of up to $26,000 per employee are available for employers who continue to pay their employees during the COVID epidemic. Many businesses qualify and simply do not know it. All business types and industries may qualify. You can claim the credit even if you received a PPP loan. This is a cash payment and not a loan, and can be claimed now. The licensed CPAs and tax professionals at Ferguson, Timar & Associates have been serving business owners across the country for over 15 years. The best part is that until you receive your cash payment, you don't pay us a dime. Our tax credit specialists are available now at 833-ERC-FILE, and your tax payment estimate is quick, easy, and free. That's 833-ERC-FILE to qualify you and your business for up to $26,000 per employee of free federal aid. Call us now at 833-ERC-FILE. That's 833-ERC-FILE.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Wisconsin DNR has announced that lake trout season opens for Lake Superior on December 1st and continues until September 30th or until the harvest cap is met. A Great Lakes trout and salmon stamp must be purchased in addition to a fishing license and can be found online at gowild.wi.gov or at any license location. A group of Stevens Point students have created a community closet called Formal Wear Free Boutique for high school students to help make school dances memorable for all students. With three formal dances throughout the year, the cost for appropriate attire can be quite high. These students are collecting formal wear through donations at the Stevens Point High School to add to the boutique, where students can shop with no questions asked. They don't want anyone to miss out for lack of something to wear. The group is looking for dresses, dress pants, shirts, ties, and shoes. Newer styles are preferred, but 90s styles are coming back into fashion. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows level off around 9 above. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 32. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows level off around 26. A dusting of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. Locally grown radio is 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Ability, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. Dominic, I got some devilish headlines for you and the fair people. You ready?
Happy Hump Day to you, Evan, our fair audience. I can't wait, Crudy. What do you got, man?
You know why I'm nearly gleeful today to start the show?
Why?
Because today is Robin Voss's day in the J6 barrel.
Woohoo!
We all have our days. Didn't Robin Voss sue to block giving any sort of testimony and what? Trump's pressure campaign to have him reverse the outcome of the 2020 election, decertify the 2020 election here in the state of Wisconsin. Robin Voss has already been targeted by the man, right? He endorsed a primary opponent, Adam Steed. The guy nearly beat him, 260 votes. And this guy is supposed to be Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly, the most powerful Republican in Wisconsin. Nearly got his wings clipped by the former president, and yet he still persisted not wanting to give the testimony against the man. But today is your day in the barrel, Robin Voss.
He did, Crudy, back in his CNN reporting, his lawsuit that he filed after receiving the subpoena initially. He was very concerned about it. This is what he said then. The committee is demanding Speaker Voss appear for a deposition to answer questions irrelevant to the committee's investigation with virtually no notice in the closing days of his reelection campaign merely because of the committee's public relations scheme, Voss's lawsuit at the time said. Apparently, it didn't go that way.
I guess we've moved beyond the scheming timelines, and, you know, today's your day in the barrel, Robin Voss. It's got to be difficult when you are the leader of a party that has effectively abandoned you for Donald Trump, right? I mean, Robin Voss is that old school, that Paul Ryan, Rance Priebus, Scotty Wanker kind of Republican back in the good old days. But now they're all Scrooge because they sold their souls to Donald Trump. And he owns them and he's calling them due. Except today. Today. Robin Voss could probably give some pretty damning testimony against the former president. Dom, let's not forget, Donald Trump summoned him, right?
Yes.
Private jet, they rode together down to Alabama. And what did Robin Voss do at the bequest of the former president? How he set up a special counsel's office. He hired a corrupted former Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice, Michael Gableman, and gave him, Gableman thought, unlimited subpoena power and the ability to sign a joint lease, apparently, at a liposuction clinic or something. I'm not clear on that part. But he basically gave a partisan all the fuel he needed to put on a year-plus-long witch hunt.
And then at the end of irregularities, that, Voss himself said that Gableman, the man who he hired, the man who he paid, the man who he hoists this responsibility upon to look at the fraud in the Wisconsin elections, Voss then called him an embarrassment to the state of Wisconsin.
No, he is just a coffee boy. You misunderstand. Yeah. I hardly ever met the guy. So anyways, that's the circumstance, the predicament, if you will, Tom, that Robin Voss finds himself in, because he doesn't really want to talk about it, right? Because he's still trying to carve out a governing majority in this very purple state of Wisconsin. They don't like Donald Trump here. Not as much, you know, on the, let's say, sane side of the aisle. Well, he's got his gerrymandered advantage, Don, but that power only comes if he's still the speaker. And luckily for you, Robin, you're still the speaker, but the lawsuit didn't work, so today's your day in the barrel.
Voss, the, of course, Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, was subpoenaed by the committee this year after he publicly revealed that Trump called him 20 months after the election to demand that he dismiss the results. Biden won the battleground state by about 20,000 votes, NBC News reports. Trump called after the Wisconsin Supreme Court issued a ruling that restricted the use of absentee ballot drop boxes in future elections. Trump tried to convince Voss that the ruling should apply retroactively, which Voss told him was not possible. Voss's refusal to try to throw out the election results led Trump to campaign against his reelection. Voss, who's the longest-serving speaker in Wisconsin history, Crudy, ultimately prevailed in his primary, but only by 3 percentage points, the smallest margin of his political career. Wisconsin Dems previously criticized Voss for appropriating close to $700,000 to investigate the state's 2020 election results. The investigation turned up no evidence of widespread fraud, and Voss later said the election had not been stolen. A spokesperson for the January 6th committee declined to comment on Voss's scheduled appearance. NBC News has asked Voss for a comment. Also, a federal judge on Monday rejected Trump's argument that he has absolute immunity in response to a lawsuit alleging he committed civil rights violations in his attempts to challenge the 2020 presidential election results.
What? No immunity? They're always trying to use that one. I'm immune. That's why they don't like getting vaccinated, these Republicans. They're immune. They're immunized, Dom.
Is that what it is? A little bit on that, I guess, Crudy. The judge yesterday, I'm sorry, Monday, rejected Trump's argument that he has absolute immunity. The lawsuit was filed by the NAACP and Michigan Welfare Rights Organization and others, accuses Trump and the RNC of efforts to disenfranchise voters through targeted harassment, intimidation, and efforts to prevent the complete counting and certification of ballots after the 2020 election. The ruling notes that Trump's lawyers previously argued that he is absolutely immune from damage for his actions within the outer perimeter of his official responsibilities as president. Apparently, the judge, Emmett Sullivan in Washington, sided with the civil rights group, writing that Trump's conduct was purely political and therefore well beyond the contours of presidential immunity.
So if he doesn't get immunity either, Don? No immunity being offered? I bet he wishes he still had that pardon pen.
Right, pocket pardon. If former President Trump disrupted the certification of the electoral vote count, as plaintiffs allege, such actions would not constitute executive action in defense of the Constitution. For these reasons, the court concludes that former President Trump is not immune from monetary damages in this suit.
Dom, you know what else is not brought up in that article, and I'd like to remind our fair audience, they're very thoughtful people. They probably remember the John Eastman. You remember the Eastman memo, the coup attempt?
Yes.
He was in Wisconsin as recently as earlier this year,
yeah,
lobbying directly to the Speaker of the Wisconsin Assembly. In fact, I have ABC News' coverage from April 11th, since it was not brought up there. Let me bring it up now. Just as he was emerging as a top target of the House committee investigating the Capitol attack, former Trump lawyer John Eastman took a trip to Wisconsin. Eastman, a right-wing lawyer who drafted a plan for former President Donald Trump to cling to power by falsely claiming that then-Vice President Mike Pence could reject legitimate electors during the 2020 presidential election, was part of a small group of Trump allies who secured a private meeting last month to try and convince the Republican leader of the Wisconsin State Assembly, they mean you, Robin Voss, to decertify President Joe Biden's win. Multiple sources familiar with the meeting told ABC. On March 16th, Eastman and others spent nearly 2 hours behind closed doors pressuring Republican Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, pressuring him, Dom, to nullify the 2020 election and reclaim the electors awarded to Biden. Now, remember, folks, this is March 16th, 2022. That's earlier this year. This is not distant history. And do you think Robin Voss will also be subject to giving non-perjurious congressional testimony on the topic of what he was pressured to do in March of 2022? Because I'd like to know, Dom.
Absolutely. I'm sure the J6 committee and their staffers are all over every aspect, be it Trump or Eastman.
Dominic Eastman in the meeting urged Voss to decertify the election. Sources familiar with the meeting said, according to Jefferson Davis, a Wisconsin activist pushing to reverse Biden's victory, who was also in the meeting. Wasn't he also, Dom, if you got just a skosh of time, look up and see if Jefferson Davis is one of the fraudulent Trump electors. I think he might be on that short list. Trump's former lawyer pushed Voss to start reclaiming the electors and move forward with either a do-over or having a new slate of electors seated that would declare someone else the winner. That's still happening this year, folks. Following publication, Davis called to clarify part of his comments, telling ABC News in a news statement that John Eastman has never suggested a do-over. It did not say so in a closed meeting with Robin Voss. Oh, I changed my mind. That didn't really happen like I told you it did. When reached for comment, Eastman said in a statement to ABC News, by explicit request from, wait for it, Speaker Voss, that meeting was confidential, so I'm not able to make any comment. But Robin Voss will be able to under congressional testimony, which I'm pretty sure, and I thought about it for just a second. I stumbled for words before I was thinking about it. If Robin Voss lies to Congress, can he go to jail for that? And I would say Michael Cohen would say yes.
I think Robin Voss and all the Republicans should do their duty and testify. This is a congressional committee, right? Congress. This is the will of the people. People have questions, and Robin Voss, and I get it, you try to delay and put it after the election. I guess I'm fine with that. But you better be forthcoming. You better be honest in your testimony.
Dominic, here is...
Crudy, I do not see Jefferson Davis on the Wisconsin list of fraudulent electors.
Could you read that list for the audience's sake?
Certainly. Andrew Hitt, Kelly Ruh, Carol Brunner, Edward Scott Grabens, Bill Feehan, Robert Spindell Jr., Kathy Kernan, Daryl Carlson, Pam Travis, Mary Boystren.
Scott Grabens.
And it looks like Tom Schreibel is a partner. He was slated to appear but replaced.
Well, those are your fraudulent Trump electors from the great state of Wisconsin. Today, it's your day, Robin Voss. It's your day in the barrel. I hope you had a good old time. I hope you were truthful, sir, because otherwise you could end up like Michael Cohen, and that'd be a shame. Come back, more Devil's Advocates Radio Show. You could be in the barrel, 844-96-PARTY.
Need help paying for health care? As a health insurance navigator, my job is to help people find affordable or low-cost options. Call the 211 helpline to find an expert near you or go to wiscovered.com. Paid for by Covering Wisconsin.
Olivia from Washington. Laid off and trying to keep our little kids from realizing that mommy and daddy haven't eaten in a while.
Roger from California. I'm grateful we could afford our son's surgery. I'm nervous that now we can't really afford food.
Daniel from California,
Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Donna from Louisiana. The storm just hit, and we went from donating to the food bank to needing it.
Keisha from South Carolina. I've been skipping meals so my two kids can eat, but filling up on water doesn't really work.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, it's Kristen Bry from Ask Us Wisconsin, which is now a radio show. That's right, I'm taking the same fun and uncomplicated approach to talking about state and local news to the airwaves. Starting July 5th, me and my friends from all parts of the state and all different backgrounds will break down the Wisconsin headlines in a way that informs, entertains, and hopefully makes you laugh. Tune in to Ask Us Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, Monday through Friday from 12 p.m. to 2 on 101 FM The Shaw and WAUK 540 AM.
Mom used to scream about Dad's drinking. It drove me crazy till Mom went to Al-Anon. If someone's drinking troubling you, you might be surprised at what you can learn in an Al-Anon or Alateen family group from people just like you. Call 1-888-4-ALANON or go to alanon.org.
From Lake Wazeecha and beyond, your news, talk, and sports is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
When they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines always open, 844-967-2789. Christine McVie has passed away, a former band member from Fleetwood Mac. Thank you, Evan, throwing out a little love. Terrible day for rock and roll. Love Fleetwood Mac.
Dominic, after you. Give that nice honorarium to Christine McVie. I hate to complain about the temperature in this room, but I'm feeling a little thin-skinned right now, Dom. I got to tell you, although it says at the top of the room where I've got the little in-room thing, it gives me the time and the temperature. It's now 69 degrees in here. I only
threw it up. Ooh, it's warming up.
It's ironic. It was much cooler, like 3 degrees cooler. I'm still feeling a little cold because I'm sitting next to the glass here. We here at Civic Media, you know, and Devil Radio and all the different spots we like to gallivant around. We often sit right near the glass and we do radio right for the people, Dom. And please tell somebody, we're doing it. Tell your friends. Best radio show ever right here in Wisconsin. Crudy's freezing his ass off in that little studio for you. But here's the point. I love my girl Alice out here. I can hear her sometimes during the commercial breaks. She's our office manager, and Alice was so proud earlier today. She's got this nice warm heater right by her desk, right?
Yeah, right.
'Tis the season. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm standing out there by your heater. I'm like, oh, this is great. But the thermostat is right around the corner from Alice.
Also out there by the heater.
Similarly in proximity, let's just say, to the heater. But the thermostat actually controls the temperature in this room as well. So I'm freezing my arse off here, and I'm going to either go steal her heater or turn up the heat. That's my whole story. Sorry, I'm
great
just
story. Great.
My teeth are rich chattering a little bit.
Compelling.
You know why.
I got you, buddy. I went and turned that up a tiny bit for you.
Could we do a little bit skosh more? Are we squeezing nickels now? I thought we were a real court. Oh, there it goes. I hear the heat coming out.
Anything.
I'll stop complaining.
844-967-2789, Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss testifying to the J6. Crudy found this one from March. Scott Bauer at the AP. Voss, this is from March 15th, 2022. Said on Tuesday he's meeting with advocates for decertifying Biden's win in the battleground state hours before he and state Senate top Republicans were to discuss the topic with county GOP leaders. Voss told the AP he was inviting those who believe the 2020 election cannot be decertified to discuss it along with advocates for decertification on Wednesday. Again, this is back in March.
Your boy Tim Rantham thrown out of that meeting? He was like all down for the decertification. And then later, he was he already running for governor at that point? Is that why he got thrown out?
I don't remember the specific timeline. Let me just get through the AP, and then we can look at that as well. Voss said, at the time, I still believe that we do not have the ability to decertify, but I said I would listen to those who are bringing experts to say that we can, and we will see if they can prove their case. I've asked people who think they can and think we can't to all sit in a room and discuss it, and that's what we're going to do tomorrow. Of course, he's been under pressure. The reason I bring this up, Curdy, one of those in the meeting with Voss, former Menominee Falls Village President Jefferson Davis. He has organized a pair of rallies at the Capitol attended by Tim Rantham, a Republican candidate for governor and state representative who has introduced resolutions to decertify the vote. Davis, Jefferson Davis, former Menominee Falls Village President here in Wisconsin. Davis said he and others will be presenting evidence to Voss that shows there were between 250,000 and 300,000 fake ballots cast in the election and that decertification can legally be done. Trump won the state of Wisconsin in such a landslide, it's not even funny. And we will have the evidence.
Dominic, okay. A short follow-up piece here. A Republican state lawmaker and candidate for governor, bear with me just a moment. I think his name is Tim Rantham. You know the man, Dom. Said he wanted to punch Assembly Speaker Robin Voss right in the nose after he kicked him out of a meeting about decertifying President Joe Biden's 2020 win in Wisconsin. I would point out, also from Scott Bauer, Dateline, Associated Press, March 17th, Izzy's birthday, 2022. Rep. Timothy Rantham, Ram Jam, said in an online interview posted on YouTube on Wednesday that he was angry with Voss after the speaker did not allow him in the closed-door meeting that day. The confidential, don't talk about a closed-door meeting. Rantham has unsuccessfully tried to decertify Biden's win, a move Voss opposes. Here's a quote from the former, well, I guess he's still Tim Rantham Assembly member until January. It was the perfect opportunity to punch him right in the nose and say, go pound sand. But I was concerned about the collateral damage. Like he was going to swing through too hard and someone else was going to take...
I mean, really, dude? You're going to assault somebody because you got kicked out of a meeting? I mean, this guy ran for governor. Yeah, I'm going to beat your ass. You don't let me in the door. Yeah, that sounds like a great temperament for governor.
Do you remember the movie The Candidate where Will Ferrell? Yeah. Nobody asked me how my hand's feeling after I punched that baby in his...
The campaign, yes.
What'd I say?
The Candidate, yeah, The Campaign. Great movie. That baby's iron jaw hurt my hand.
You know, that's what you call collateral damage when you go to punch one guy and you hit another dime. Here's a little bit more from, you know, the alleged baby puncher wannabe, Tim Rantham. There's only one way to treat a bully, and that's to punch him right back in the nose. But in this case, I couldn't take the chance because he could have just ended it and say, fine, I'm out of here and left. And then it would have been on me. Yeah, I guess so. Or I could call the cops on you, you moron.
Oh, assault doesn't necessarily solve all your problems, Tim.
Wait. I am not a violent person, says every domestic abuser ever.
Right. Why did you make me hit you?
I referenced nose punch in describing how most, if not all, bullies should be treated. It's a common phrase, isn't it? Well, throat punch maybe, right, Tom?
I prefer a throat punch.
Do you ever want to throat punch an outgoing assembly member right in the throat?
If I did, it'd be Tim Rantham.
Speaker Voss, but we wouldn't condone any sort of...
Of course not.
...violence. Speaker Voss should do the right thing and correct the crime of the century immediately, Trump said in a statement. It is my opinion that other states will be doing this. Wisconsin should lead the way! Like the devil's advocates do. Come back, more of us.
Is anyone asking how my hand feels after punching that iron-like jaw of that baby?
How was your hand?
I can't even make a fist.
Ugh.
The Shaw, 101 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Congratulations to the winners of the New Year's Day Green Bay Giveaway. The following individuals won a $50 gift card from the participating sponsors. Petra Inderdahl of Scandinavia from La Taqueria. Dave Colby of Wisconsin Rapids from Jennings & Company. Ken Hilgers of Nakusa from Piggly Wiggly. And Brenda Piotrowski of Adams from Hoozles at the Lakes. And the grand prize winner of two club tickets to the New Year's Day game, Dave Colby. WFHR and WIRI would like to thank all who participated and especially our sponsors. Have a happy holiday season from Civic Media and Locally Grown Radio.
Lights, camera, action. It is time for your close-up with WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's. Listen to WFHR every Friday morning at 8:30. We'll play a quote from a famous movie, name the actor, character, or movie, and you'll win two value baskets and two concrete mixers from the superstars at Culver's in Wisconsin Rapids. Join us Fridays to be WFHR's Star of the Day featuring Culver's.
Farmers and ranchers have a lot of choices to make. When it comes to your crop insurance needs, the team at Ag Country Farm Credit Services can simplify it all for you. Ag Country's Optimum tool will compare thousands of options based on information from your farm, which will then be used to find the right policy for your operation. Ask about the Optimum tool by contacting your local Ag Country office. Ag Country, focused on ag, focused on you.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Over the Back Fence has moved. Tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. for an hour of water cooler talk, items you're looking to buy or sell, upcoming events in central Wisconsin, or just whatever. Join the conversation by calling 715-424-2600, and we'll go over the back fence at its new day and time, Saturdays at 11 a.m., right before the Sunshine Polka Party Show. It's the audio community bulletin board that comes to you. We'll see you there.
For Civic Media, I'm Melissa Kay with your local news update. The Racine man police are calling the dating app predator is in jail facing charges. Timothy Olson was arrested yesterday in Franklin on preliminary charges of kidnapping and identity theft. He's also linked to the death of a Cudahy woman. Police believe Olson drugged women, then stole money and other valuables. Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro became famous in Wisconsin for presiding over the Darryl Brooks trial. Today, she announces she's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court. The election is expected to determine the court's ideological majority. Doro was appointed by former Governor Scott Walker and is reportedly active in the Republican Party. Gas prices are falling in Wisconsin. Monday prices in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Appleton fell below $3 a gallon. Statewide average gasoline prices are also down. 1 week ago, they were $3.23. On Tuesday, statewide averages were $3.15. In sports, the Bucks are at the Knicks tonight. And that's the news on your locally grown radio station.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows of aloft around 9 above. Tonight, under partly cloudy skies, westerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. High temperatures reach up to 32. Tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun. Partly cloudy skies again. Tomorrow night, lows of aloft around 26. A dusting of snow Friday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Vujcicki. Currently, it's 20.
Yes.
Their Supreme Court, the new candidate, she declared right down the road from us at WAUK 540 AM at the courthouse in Waukesha. Made her big announcement today, Dom. And, you know, she's going to come under some fire. And journalist, Page Six journalist, Journal Sentinel journalist, Dan Bias. Well, he's got the latest, and this one seems loud and clear, Dom. You were even flagged on this one. You knew that Jess didn't almost misspoke. Judge Doro, Jennifer Doro of Waukesha, you heard she's got a cash bail problem, Dom. Sort of like Mandela did, apparently, but what's that all mean?
We'll see how the Republicans react. As Bice writes at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Doro has been critical of the cash bail system. Deep-pocketed conservatives dropped millions of dollars on TV ads, criticizing Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes in this year's U.S. Senate race for his opposition to cash bail for defendants awaiting trial.
Did they? Hadn't noticed. Did they run ads against Mandela in that regard?
Yeah, I think a couple, one or two, perhaps, Crudy. Bice goes on, so what are those same interests going to do when a conservative candidate expresses her own concerns about the cash bail system? We will soon find out. Waukesha County Circuit Judge Jennifer Doro, a conservative candidate for the state Supreme Court, was a member of the Legislative Council Study Committee on Bail and Conditions of Pretrial Release several years ago. As a member of the panel, Doro expressed concerns about cash bail. Under the current system, judges direct defendants to pay a certain amount of money or bail to be released from jail. Bail is intended as a financial incentive for a defendant to show up for trial or future hearings. The system has come under criticism, especially among liberals, because it often means that wealthier defendants get released while poor defendants are forced to sit in jail because they cannot afford to post the bail. Doro told the members of the Legislative Study Committee that the state's current system is coming up short. On December 11th of 2018, the Waukesha County judge said there is a huge body of evidence about whether cash bail is keeping communities safe. Quote, there is a lot of evidence that says it doesn't, she said. Though she added, there might be a time and place for it until the state goes to another system. 2 months later, she was more expansive. Another quote. We don't have a workable preventative detention, and more importantly, cash bail is not a best practice anymore, Doro said on January 29th of 2019. And so if we are going to change anything, we should be looking at a system that eliminates cash bail with a robust preventative detention coupled with statewide pretrial services, because uniformity and funding need to be part of this solution as well. Let me just repeat just a portion of that quote. If we're going to change anything, we should be looking at a system that eliminates cash bail. That's very similar to what Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes said, Michael.
Well, Dom, you're starting to sound a lot like your colleague in talk, Mark Belling. He is kind of the king of afternoons in Milwaukee, at least. Knock him off the mountain. Doro has even come under criticism from conservative whitey-righty talker Mark Belling, who wrote last year that she has consistently defended the lenient bail decisions made by court commissioners. Of course, Doro picked up a worldwide fan club in recent months. Well, cause celeb, right, Dom? Because of her handling of the case involving low cash bail. In 2021, Darrell Brooks was free on just a $1,000 bail in a felony domestic violence case when he drove a Ford Escape into the Waukesha Christmas parade, killing six and injuring more than 60. Prosecutors have acknowledged the sum was inappropriately low. And Doro oversaw the trial, which was aired on Court TV live stream. Brooks, 40, was convicted of all 76 counts, including six charges of first-degree intentional homicide. Doro sentenced Brooks to six life sentences and 760 years in prison. When's he due for bail, Dom? In an email exchange, Doro repeated her assertion that the current system is not working correctly. I have long believed the bail system in Wisconsin is broken, in need of reform. Doro, who has been on the bench for more than a decade, we have certainly seen the fact that come home in a painful way in my community. But then Doro took the issue in a different direction when asked if she still agrees with the view she expressed at a legislative council meeting about possibly eliminating cash bail. Instead, she said she supported a proposed constitutional amendment that would expand the factors that judges can consider when deciding to set cash bail for defendants. Earlier this year, state lawmakers approved an amendment that would allow courts to consider the defendant's criminal record and their potential risk to public safety when setting bail. Currently, bail is set only as a means to ensure the person appears in court. The amendment, which has been in the works since 17, still needs the approval by both legislative houses in a second session and by voters in a statewide election. Here, again, is what she said. Judges like me are not allowed to consider public safety when setting bail. I mean, that I'm not criticizing the speaker for this, but that's a shocking thought. The judge can't consider whether or not they're... Anyways, let me read on. Doro said the proposed amendment aligns with what I was recommending at the Legislative Council Study Committee. Let me make sure I get all of this in context. Judges like me are not allowed to consider public safety when setting bail. That is wrong. We need an approach that would allow for public safety to be paramount concern when determining bail. She went on to say the proposed amendment aligns with what I was recommending. So is she backing away from her criticisms of cash bail? That's not clear. Apparently, by attacking my calls for reform, again, a quote from Judge Doro, by attacking my calls for reform, some of the candidates in the race for Supreme Court must think the current bail system works just fine, Doro concluded. I disagree and have thought change was needed for a long time to protect the public. So what do her opponents have to say, Dom? Well, Janet Protasiewicz, one of the two liberals in the contest, declined to comment. Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, a relatively recent guest here, the other liberal, said he thinks the cash bail system should be reformed but not eliminated. He said he favors making sure poor defendants have lawyers earlier in the process and creating more opportunities for court officials to review defendants' terms of release before trial. Cash bail is just a tool, and without cash bail, it takes another tool out of consideration, Mitchell said. In determining bail, he said judges must consider the need to keep communities and possibly witnesses safe while also protecting the constitutional rights of those charged with crimes. Again, charged, not convicted at that point. And then there's good old former Justice Kelly, right, Dom? The campaign for former state Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly, a conservative, put out a cautious statement in response to Doro's past statements on the problems with cash bail. Justice Kelly's tenure on the Supreme Court. Yeah, milk it for all it's worth, buddy.
They're going to start every single sentence from here until the election with that.
Justice Kelly's tenure on the Supreme Court has proven that the judicial conservatism, upholding the rule of law and rejecting activism, you know, let's throw a few more buzzwords in this sentence and see if you buy it. Let me continue reading. Is the only way to protect our Constitution and prevent legislating from the bench, said Kelly's spokesman Jim Dick. On behalf of a man that had no qualms legislating from the bench. The debate over cash bail has played out nationally and not without some controversy. Dom, we know about the whole thing here in the state of Wisconsin. We know they beat the crap out of Mandela Barnes with this issue. And now you've got a divided GOP Supreme Court base. I mean, I heard Righty Whitey talk host Dan O'Donnell start his show very cautiously today, talking about the entry of Doro to this race, this now four-candidate race, a supposed nonpartisan race. But whenever they get through the primary, the Democrats will support the more liberal candidate. The Republicans will support the more conservative candidate. But the question is, Dom, will the Republican Party tear itself apart over the issue of cash bail?
Yes!
One of their own is the target. The same target they put on Mandela's back, because Dan Kelly is a yes, I will kind of guy, isn't he?
I wonder if they're going to put ads with Doro and make her more white. Wisconsin lawmakers, Crudy, are pushing measures to bolster the cash bail system in wake of the Waukesha Parade massacre. Big question, Daniel Blyce ponders, is how will the group Fair Courts America respond to Doro's past remarks? They seem like current remarks as well. I think she's standing by it. The group is being underwritten by billionaire Richard Uihlein, who funded the groups that attacked Barnes over his support for cashless bail throughout the fall campaign. Of course, we know Barnes narrowly lost to Johnson last month. All the group has said so far is that it will be backing Kelly. Quote, in these turbulent times, we cannot take a chance on untested, unproven alternatives, a spokesman for Fair Courts America said recently. In other words, win at all costs, even if it might mean attacking another conservative. That has some betting that the attack ads are coming soon. Uline has clearly signaled that he is all in, said a Democratic operative not involved in the Supreme Court race. It appears the fissure within the Republican Party is continuing. Daniel Bice at the Journal Sentinel, or as I would just paraphrase, Creating the Republican Party in Wisconsin is in disarray.
Well, I would really like you to ask Speaker Robin Voss after he returns from the barrel if that is the case. I'd like his comment on that.
844-967-2789. We would like your comments. Join us on the lines right now. Dick from Madison, you are up. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Hey, guys. First of all, a huge congratulations on all of this expansion around the state.
Thanks, man.
Oh, my God. It's heartwarming.
Are you telling people, Dick? Not just us. Are you leaving the garage, telling the neighbors, hey, get the Civic Media app?
Absolutely, but I'm in the garage right now, and here's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling really Christmassy because yesterday, Stuart Rhodes, today, Voss and Robin Miller. Isn't this a nice time of the year?
You mean Stephen Miller, the former Nazi speechwriter to Donald Trump.
Isn't that nice?
Alleged Nazi speechwriter.
It's nice that him and Robin Voss testify the same day. That's just beautiful. I mean, I'm feeling really in a holiday spirit when I see these people actually coming, being taken to justice. What do you think? 25 years or so for Stuart Rhodes? That puts him in about 80 years old when he gets out.
Something like that, Dick. We should have a Merrick Garland advent calendar. Like our buddy Hassel, last couple of years, brought us these wonderful German beer advent calendars for the holidays. And, I got to be honest, I'm not even a big German beer guy, but, when a guy brings you a whole month's worth, you got to right. Do your best. Usually the guys here chip in, do their part drinking a few of them, Dom. But anyways, here's the point. I would like a countdown to Merrick Garland Day, Dom. Or who is the new special counsel?
Jack Smith.
When's Jack Smith Day? Can we have an advent calendar? When are we getting to the bottom? Because simply giving testimony behind closed doors, that's not gratifying enough for me.
Well, but you got to look at who is giving testimony behind closed doors, right? I mean, they're getting obviously closer and closer to Trump's inner circle. I mean, Stephen Miller yesterday, that's kind of a big deal.
Gave testimony before the Department of Justice, and Robin Voss gave testimony before Congress. And guess what, Dom? Crudy's wish is going to come true first with Robin Voss and his testimony in the barrel today, because by the end of the month, by the end of the year, all of Robin Voss's testimony will be made public, because the January 6th committee is going to let all of us see the evidence to do with what we will.
And we'll find out how disloyal Robin Voss was to the MAGAs.
Oh, he had to stick it to Trump. I mean, is he doing the Weissman? Is he going to fall on his sword, man? You're not the CFO. You're not getting a raise. Robin Voss, for your 51 grand a year job, get a little bump for being a speaker. He probably does. Extra per diem. A little extra candy cane in his stocking at Christmas time. And 14 staffers at a cost to the taxpayers of over $1 million per year.
You need a lot of staffers when you work 2 months out of the year.
Dude, if we had $1 million staff, it'd sound almost as good as when Evan does it. Or Devil's Advocates, we'll be right back.
I have never been more excited about anything that I get to have gotten the chance to work.
When a student lacks basic needs like food, clothing, and learning materials, attending school can be a challenge.
And that can make it impossible to thrive.
At Communities in Schools, we address this issue by ensuring that students have everything they need to re-engage in learning.
Access to technology and school supplies.
And even emotional support.
By bringing communities of support to students, we are achieving equitable learning conditions.
And that's what Communities in Schools is all about.
Learn more at communitiesinschools.org.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there. You can say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You can ask with an app if it works for you. You can write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you can write him a letter.
Whatever gets you talking.
Chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP. We're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Phone lines open for your take. 844-967-2789.
Dominic, there is some new reporting over at the Urban Milwaukee Online Daily. The reporting originally might have been at the, I want to make sure I give proper credit to the original source here. Sorry, trying my best. I'll get back to you. The question, though. The Supreme Court race, and we've talked about this a lot. We've got a new entry into the race. Jennifer Doro made her announcement today at the Waukesha Courthouse.
A fan of cash bail, just like Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes.
And I assume that will be an issue in a Republican Party in disarray, as you continue to point out, Tom. You know, it's not so good over there on that side. But anyways, here is what I wanted to bring to your attention, Dom. There's a new article. Can the state be redistricted again? I'd like to know. In a recent midterm election, Democrats won 3 of 5 statewide races, including 2 of the 3 most important, governor and attorney general. But using their newly gerrymandered maps in 2022, Republicans expanded their large majorities in the state legislature, securing a 2/3 supermajority in the state Senate and falling just 2 seats short in the assembly. A disastrous how UW-Stevens Point political science professor emeritus Ed Miller described the state's freshly gerrymandered political districts. One of the most successful gerrymanders in the country, added Alyssa von Hagel, a political science professor at UW-Superior. And UW-Madison political scientist Barry Burden said the midterm elections validated a troubling perception about the state of Wisconsin's democracy. You know, a small D democracy. In 2022, the election results have confirmed that the partisan makeup of the state legislature has little to do with voter preferences. Despite all of the statewide elections being decided by narrow margins and slightly favoring Democratic candidates, large Republican majorities in the state legislature actually got larger. Yeah, it's not supposed to happen like that, Dom. But big changes to the political districts in Wisconsin are still possible in the near future, experts say. Crudy's throwing a question mark. The most crucial determining factor likely will be the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Well, we've been talking about that. Got a big election coming up in the spring, Dom. But what could the court do about it? So, when it was time to redraw the political districts in 2021, which states are required to do after the census every 10 years, you know, they did it again here in the state of Wisconsin. Only they used the old Scott Walker cooked the book maps, right? With a Democratic governor's veto in place, the GOP-controlled legislature couldn't pass their preferred maps as they did in 2011. They didn't get it the first time, remember? So the 2021 redistricting saga landed in the courts as it has several times in previous decades. Those previous legal proceedings ended with the Wisconsin Supreme Court declining to rule, declining, Dom, you know, because they liked the maps. It was their team declining to rule on political district boundaries, leaving the map making to the federal courts, which usually hired an expert to draw them with as little partisan skew as possible. But in 21, the right-wing majority on the state Supreme Court said this time they decided to keep the power to make rulings on political districts. The court then decided to require a least change approach to drawing the present maps. You know, let's bake in the cake, right? That's what they did. So anyways, ultimately, Wisconsin got state legislative maps that heavily favored Republicans, a point the election's results validated. But a win in the 2023 election by a liberal candidate flips the court, right? Democrats and good government groups are hopeful that a change in the court's ideological composition will provide an opportunity to challenge the current districts as partisan gerrymanders. They should. And a newly configured court might be more willing to entertain litigation arguing the previous round of redistricting was conducted illegally and needs to be redone. If a majority of justices were to view that argument favorably, the court then could hire an expert to draw the districts in as nonpartisan way as possible and ask the political parties to redraw maps and submit them again. I think there is a reasonable likelihood that that could happen if the composition of the court changes. That's what Crudy's waiting to hear. If history is an indication, the U.S. Supreme Court would be unlikely to intervene in the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision, although, you know, Republicans would run bitching and screaming. Although the U.S. High Court intervened in 2022 in a case challenging Wisconsin's map on racial gerrymandering, the court repeatedly has declined to weigh in on political gerrymandering cases. So whichever party wins the 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court open seat, liberals will have to defend a seat in 25 when left-wing Justice Ann Walsh Bradley is up for re-election. The seats of two other right-wing justices are up in 26 and 27. So it really comes down to next year. And next year starts in like a month. And the candidates on the ballot are growing. We've got this new star celebrity, if you will, of the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial, Jennifer Doro. And you're going to have the very sanctimonious, pompous, one-time loser, former justice by appointment, Dan Kelly. So there's going to be a hell of a fight on the right. But whoever comes through the primary is absolutely going to be their candidate. And I think it'll be Doro. I think she was encouraged to join the race because a lot of people, despite Uline's fat contributions, don't think Dan Kelly's a political winner. I could hear it in Dan O'Donnell's greasy voice this morning. He was very excited about the prospect. Although, you know, speaking very conservatively and being thoughtful, Dom, but he's very excited about someone other than Dan Kelly, who I remind you, Dom, lost to Jill Karofsky by 163,000 votes. And Dan tried to compare it to the Russ Feingold race.
Wasn't there other goings on that ballot as well? What was the, there's other circumstances that happened
the
there as well.
The circumstance there was that was the pandemic primary. It was supposed to be a primary for the presidential election. It was supposed to be our moment to shine, Bernie Sanders coming to town. But if you don't have the greatest of memories, Dom, we went up to Minnesota. We partied with our friends at KTNF. We did our little party on Super Tuesday, and Joe Biden had a good night. And then all of the candidates dropped out in short succession, except for Warren and Bernie Sanders. And Bernie literally stayed in the Wisconsin race to try and keep it competitive on behalf of Wisconsin voters and to encourage turnout in that Supreme Court race. Now, I would remind everyone, Bernie Sanders subsequently withdrew his candidacy before they ever counted the votes in Wisconsin. It wasn't about winning. Bernie was playing a little strategery. And Jill Karofsky, I hope, sent him a little, you know, thank you card, a little Christmas ham or something, because by staying in the race and perhaps turning out a few more voters or getting a few more to vote by mail, it was a big vote by mail ballot. You know, Bernie did liberals and Jill Karofsky, Justice Karofsky, a real solid. So anyways, It could change the whole dynamic of the state of Wisconsin. It's kind of an important election. It comes up in February and the general in April. Devil's Advocate, Hour 2, it's next.
Why don't you copy it?
I'm John O'Hurley, and I support Paralyzed Veterans of America because our heroes have sacrificed so much for our independence.
I had just come home. I had noticed my legs were swollen. Next thing I know, it was 3 weeks later. I was paralyzed. PVA has brought me back to life.
While parachuting with my platoon, my parachute didn't open. It left me paralyzed. I just don't think my family would be as happy as they are without the support that I received from Paralyzed Veterans of America.
For more than 75 years, Paralyzed Veterans of America has kept a promise to never leave a fallen hero behind. That's why Paralyzed Veterans of America is providing specialized medical care, life-changing treatments, benefits our heroes earned, the jobs they want, and the accessible vehicles and homes they need. Our paralyzed veterans have helped us live the lives we enjoy today. It's our turn to give them the best lives possible. To learn more, go to
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.